Annie Brockwell for Reason TV, and I'm here at the Inside 3D Printing Convention and Expo, where companies are showing off some of the latest developments in a technology that could potentially transform the economy. So what exactly is 3D printing?
3D printing is a process that builds up three-dimensional objects, physical objects, by stacking material layer by layer, governed by a design file. So not just printing a picture of a cup of coffee, but actually printing the coffee cup itself, something you can drink out of. Prices are coming down, which means that technology is becoming accessible. The consumer scale industry is getting more involved, but big companies are beginning to use it to make real products, and that means a lot of things are going to change.
You may not have to go to Sears to buy your screwdriver at some point. You may be able to print the plastic and the metal parts you need to make a tool. And we'll see parts on demand where, for example, a large manufacturer of dishwashers puts all their parts online as digital files. And people anywhere they are in the world who have a 3D printer can print their own parts. In terms of toy manufacturing, for example, instead of having 10 varieties of a character that they could sell at Walmart, if the child could scan their own face and put it onto one of their products, print it out at home, they can take models that are created by, say, a company like Mattel, and alter them and then print their own version of it and actually upload it again to their site so that other people across the globe could share in iterations, they call them, of a product. So it's a constantly organic, moving creation process.
One of our customers is called the Open Hand Project, and they're based out of the UK, and they've created a prosthetic hand that's totally open source. And the proprietary or closed version that they're mimicking costs about $100,000. The Open Hand Project's version costs about $1,000 in terms of bill of materials, cost of materials. So it's two orders of magnitude less. One of the other interesting applications that we've seen is in university research labs. So at Michigan Tech, they're using 3D printers to create lab equipment at a fraction of the cost. So one example was a $2,000 meter that a manufacturer was going to sell the lab. Instead, their campus 3D printing lab made one for about $150.
So this is the ChefJet 3D printer, and it's the first kitchen-ready 3D printer. So right now it's printing in a chocolate recipe, but it's compatible with a lot of different confectionery recipes. So you can 3D print everything from little candies, like you see here, to large, intricate cake toppers and everything in between.
What can these machines do that a pastry chef can't do?
So pastry chefs are true innovators and artists in their own right, and what we're hoping is that this is just another tool in their toolbox, so it can make incredibly complex, dimensional, structural shapes that maybe couldn't be made by hand. It can also make things like you see these interlocking, loosely interlocking shapes, which you really couldn't make any other way but to 3D print it. You can also do super customized things, like if you're a bride and you have lace in your wedding dress, you could bring that in and we could create a cake topper for your wedding cake that's made kind of in the form of that lace.
Or an edible wedding dress.
Or that. Either one, yeah. So super customizable. That's one of the powers of the technology.
And do you foresee this machine being available on the consumer market?
Absolutely. So the ChefJet and the ChefJet Pro, which is the full color version, will be both available in the second half of this year. Yeah.
Now, your company actually created the world's first 3D printed metal gun. Tell me a little bit about that product and why you decided to do that.
We actually had some engineers that wanted to prove out the technology and just show in a very dramatic way that it was usable on a commercial, industrial kind of scale. And the gun that we made is a 1911 Browning model gun, so it's a very old gun, but we're using new technology to produce it, or we did on this one gun. And, you know, that holds 20,000 PSI in the chamber every time it's fired, and it's been fired 4,000 times, so very good proof of the technology, just to show that it will work in other applications.
Do you ultimately see people as being able to make guns themselves on a home 3D printer?
Well, they have. They've done plastic guns, but you know, they're dangerous to hold and they're dangerous to fire, and it's not a gun I would want to fire. Over the long term, of course, this technology is going to get more and more sophisticated, and the chances of that happening become greater.
Do you think that ultimately it's going to be difficult for government to stop people creating whatever they want in their homes?
Well, yeah, it certainly would be difficult. You know, I just don't know where to go with that one. It's not a thing I've put a lot of thought into. We control our environments and we can control what we're doing. So the home printer market, you know, that's a whole different story. So it's going to shake out over time.
As a libertarian and a former Reason staffer, what excites you most about this technology?
Well, the fact that the open source developments have been coming in over the last 5 to 8 years, that's really what's revitalizing 3D printing and why it's getting into the hands of everyone. We've seen that as some of the patents have expired, the cost of some of this technology has gone down by 98%. You're also seeing development and new ideas come out of high schools, even home inventors. A lot of the parts on our machine were invented by our customers. A lot of times they're just playing around at home on the weekends and they're coming up with parts that are better than what we came up with. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to have really interesting effects on both sides in terms of really complex versus really simple developments. And I think overall you're going to see it's going to get more competitive and prices will keep falling. And so we'll see what happens next.
Do you see any particular threats to the 3D printing industry, such as patent holders or certain companies who might want to protect their product?
I think the old school way of thinking for patent enforcement is going to have to adapt to the new reality, because it's something, it's much like the music industry. The first few years of the technology coming out, there's going to be a lot of trying to fighting the reality. This is going to prove to be unstoppable in terms of its implementation. So I think the whole intellectual property industry will have to adapt their models to take into account that it's going to happen.
It's sort of like being in the 70s in computers. Certain things are going to be disrupted, but you have a feeling that a lot of other things are going to be disrupted, but nobody knows what they are. Very exciting times.
Because the price is so affordable now, when the artists get a hold of this technology, they'll come up with projects that we've never even thought about that will just make the whole space explode.